Welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 75, recorded on Sunday, June 30th, 2024.
Cut it close this time, 30th.
You're going to get a crick in the neck there if you're wiping your head around like that.
Yeah, I lost power a couple days ago. We were supposed to do this like on Wednesday, but the fake climate change, I lost power for basically 2 days, and I was like,
that sucks ass.
Craig and I ended up watching the movie of the month together, which was kind of cool because we don't do that too much anymore.
No.
So that was nice, but yeah.
Nice.
This is our new normal, people. This is our new normal.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, it's fucking hot. It was hot here, too, in Southern California.
Oh, it's the humidity that's the worst, though, man. Like, it's just, like, so fucking... It's, like, basically you're, like, swimming through the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the funny thing. It's typically here in the South, it's pretty dry, but I was just saying to my daughter, we peaked at, like, 80% humidity overnight.
Wow.
when the marine layer is rolling in. I'm like, dude, I don't remember it getting quite this humid during the summertime. What the hell?
I think I saw it was like 90% humidity here today. I'm like, well, that's basically like...
Oh, yeah, it's pretty bad here.
We get to 100, like, you're basically like just, you know, you better start putting scuba gear on, right? Like, the air is now water.
No, maybe it's time to move to the north central United States, because my understanding is in 50-some plus years, when things start getting really bad, you're going to want to be up there near Michigan.
I'm going to Canada, man. Toronto is where I'm going to move to. Because the U.S., man. In the next year, after Thursday night, man, next year.
Dude, I don't even want to talk. I don't want to talk about it.
That's legitimate horror right there. That's legitimate horror.
I watched 20 minutes of it and I turned it off. And then all Friday night, I went out with my friends in L.A. And then we went back to the one of their apartments and hung out. And we're, you know, getting high, watching it. And it's like, dude, the news just... asking him to step down and all the fucking flubs. I'm like, what the shit is going on here, dude? I can't. The Democrats put themselves in this position by having that fucking candidate. They're fucking idiots.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you can't blame anybody else. Like, and they chose the format. They chose when it was going to happen. They chose the rules. Yeah. They like, and he walked out. He's like,
they set themselves up for complete and utter fucking failure. It was bad. It was bad.
I'm like, God damn, Joe. Like, you fucking with me now or what, buddy? Like,
I can't. I just can't. I'm done. That's it. No more talking about it. It's over.
Okay. Well, it is a horror podcast. It is a horror podcast.
And that is going to give people nightmares. Stop it.
No, I had nightmares. I didn't even watch it. I heard from other people who were watching. I'm like, I didn't watch it because of that reason.
Bro.
Leave me alone.
It's so fucking
I wouldn't
bad.
Live in my denial bubble.
Like I said, 20 minutes, and then I turned it off. I'm like,
older brother, who is a Republican but hates Trump, sent me a text 2 minutes in. He's like, oh, my God, dude, this is terrible. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that.
All right. Well, let's get moving on with some
horror. Let's get into some fake horror.
Let's get into some fictional horror news. All right. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, being over there in Pennsylvania, but Hershey Park is bringing back their Halloween this September.
Yeah, that looked better than any of the other ones I've been to. Like, I watched videos on it. It looks ridiculously good. Yeah.
I think they have 7 haunted houses now this year with the new return, so that looks pretty cool.
I guess you got to balance it out between chocolate
Trogues Brewery
and horror, right?
Yeah, well, how about Trogues Brewery, too, right next door?
Yeah, but like it's Chocolate World, right? Like, it's probably hard to get too into it. Like, you know,
we got
Reese's Pieces dancing around. We got like Hershey's Kisses dancing around, and then like all of a sudden, like, I get it. Like, it's probably difficult to balance that more so than other.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys if you guys eat chocolate at all, but don't eat Hershey's
Hershey's chocolate.
Like trash.
I read a thing about like Hershey's chocolate.
It's on purpose.
People said it tastes like vomit. And I never really thought about that before. And then I ate like a piece of caramello, and then I ate like a Hershey. I'm like, it actually does taste like fucking vomit. Like, what the hell's going on?
It's made in Mexico now. They took it out of, because I grew up in Hershey. They used to make it there. You could smell it from my house.
Yeah, Milton Hershey's probably like just like flipping people off in his grave. He's like
because he was a really cool cat.
He
built
all that shit for his employees, and they said, you know what, Milton Hershey, we want to make more money, so we're going to take your chocolate and move it to Mexico where we can make it cheaper.
It was intentionally different because he wanted it to be different than all the other chocolates. It has that like gritty texture to it. It's not as smooth as the other chocolates. And they said that's on purpose, but the flavor now is gross.
Now the flavor has gotten really bad, and not only that, it's like a waxy. They cut back on the amount of cocoa butter, so now it's very waxy tasting. It's really weird.
I'm not a fan. Like, I don't eat it anymore. I avoid Hershey chocolate. Yep. I don't eat Nestle either because those guys.
Yeah, fuck those guys for real. All right. The Last of Us Season 2 episode count has been revealed, and it's a few episodes less than the previous season. However, according to Neil Druckmann, there is going to be one or two episodes that are going to be very long.
Nice.
Quite big. Season 2 episodes will be quite big in length, he says. And they tease that there will be a Season 3 and possibly a Season 4.
I mean, Season 1 was awesome. Like, so yeah.
It was fantastic. All right. Jordan Peele's fourth film secures an October 2026 release date. Woo-hoo! We don't know anything really about it, but we do know that it's going to be in 2026. According to him, I do feel like my next project is very clear to me, Peele told Conan O'Brien on his podcast back in January. He says, I'm psyched that I have another film that could be my favorite movie if I make it right. Peele's Monkey Paw Productions has first look deal with Universal, and one of its next titles is Justin Tipton's Him, which will be coming out September 19, 2025, and then Jordan Peele will be writing and creating his fourth film after that. Looking forward to it, because I'll tell you, Jordan Peele made a lot of decent movies. I mean, Nope was really good.
I haven't seen Nope
really
yet.
Enjoyed it.
I haven't watched it. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure why I haven't watched that yet. Like,
dude, you should watch it. I really enjoyed it. I like that film a lot. Yeah,
I saw it.
Did you like it too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure why I haven't seen it yet. Like, I think when it came out, like, I was unclear as to what it was about, and I was like, I don't know.
It was a little wacky like that, but yeah.
But it was good?
It was kind of weird, but really, I thought even at the end was, like, fucking great. I was like, wow, this is really a different kind of film.
Right.
Not your typical horror film. And all the scenes that make you go, nope, that's exactly why they call it nope, because there were a lot of scenes in there. It was like, nope, I'm not doing that.
All right,
nope.
Well, all right, I'll make sure I get that in over the next few months. Watch some Nope.
Mike Flanagan's Exorcist films are going to be starting to be released in March 2026. So according to Hollywood Reporter, those last couple of films, the Exorcism, Believer, you know, the ones that were supposed to be two pairs of movies coming out. Well, one came out and it flopped so terribly bad. They're ditching the next one and letting Mike Flanagan take over for a series.
I didn't even watch it when it came on for free. I think it's on, on Max or something right now.
I still haven't watched it. Yeah,
I heard such horrible reviews of it. I'm not even going to touch it.
Nope. Even just the trailers. I mean, the makeup and the special effects on the girls that are possessed just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
Basically, everyone that I've talked to that has watched it says it's just not scary. It's just not a scary movie. They screwed the pooch in a really bad way. They took a film that gave nightmares to a whole generation and then just screwed the pooch with some follow-ups that are terrible.
Yeah. More than a generation, right? I mean, it was...
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. That
still,
first Exorcist
still
film,
to this whew. Date, it's one of the best ever, right?
Yeah.
Well,
sure.
Even the third one I thought was pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Exorcist I still get kind of... like I was raised religious, so, you know, and I'm not anymore, but, like, just watching that film still today, like, there's parts of it I'm like,
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just heard so many bad things about this new one that I'm like, I'm not going to watch that shit.
Yeah, so now there's a new planned trilogy of films after The Exorcist Believer proved to be a major flop for the entire studio, so... They're hoping to salvage that with Mike Flanagan. And Mike Flanagan says he's got some really great ideas that should shock and terrify a lot of people. So I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
All right. Patrick Dempsey is joining the Dexter prequel cast. He's going to wind up playing a regular character in that series. He's set to portray Aaron Spencer, that is the captain of the Miami Metro Homicide, who has a decades-long relationship with Christian Slater's Harry Morgan character. So I'm looking forward to that.
Did you have Showtime, Sal, and watch Dexter or no?
Back in the day, yeah, absolutely. I got it.
And
I got it just for that show.
Well, they just dropped it on Netflix now.
Right. Did you watch it?
No, I'm just going to start. I put it on my list.
It's really good.
And I did start watching Chucky too. I jumped off.
I love it. I know you love it. Great series.
I know. But I jumped. I'm like 4 or 5 in. I sort of just lost interest in it. I don't know.
The first series? You only watched the first
season.
I would say try to hang with it till the second season.
Okay.
It gets really good. It
does get better.
I think it's an inclusionary series that, you know, it's got some gay themes to it, which, you know,
that doesn't bother
me. I know, but it took a while. I think the first season took me probably 5 episodes or so to get into it, and then I bought into the characters and the turn it takes. I just
got to build it. Got to build it.
Yeah, yep. It took me a while too, but then I kept watching and I love that series now. So.
Yeah. So anyway, Dexter, great series. So they filmed a lot of it here in Long Beach. A bunch of the houses from the show are down here in Long Beach, including the sister's house, which is supposedly in Miami. That's right here in Long Beach, and the girlfriend's pink house there is in Long Beach. Nice. But that's a really good show. And then the show that they did that took place was it 20 or 30 years after the events of the first series? They did a series there that was pretty good, and now they're doing this prequel series that sounds interesting. So I'm in with it.
Okay.
Dexter was a pretty cool TV show. I liked it.
Yep,
I've heard great things
about it.
Quite
a few seasons too, right?
Yeah.
I think eight seasons in original.
Besides you, I've heard other people say they really liked it too. I never got into it. I
never had Showtime.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
I refused Showtime. Just to add. Because it was another 15, 20 bucks, whatever, a month.
Yeah.
Away. I'm like,
well, back in the day, I did add it because this came out in 2006. And I was like, people were talking about it all the time. And man, I got to check this shit out.
Yeah.
So I checked it all out. But yeah, there are 8 seasons of the original series. And I believe 1 season of the follow-up series.
It's a lot of watching. That's good.
Yeah, it's really good. It really
is it available
good.
On Netflix now? Like the old ones?
They just dropped it.
I thought so because I was like, I watch it now that it's on Netflix. Check out the old episodes.
All right, The Watchers has joined Premium Digital as of the 28th, and it's going to be on disc August 27th. So The Watchers did okay. It got $24.9 million in the global box office, but they rushed that thing right to fucking digital.
Is that the Irish or British?
That's M. Night Shyamalan's daughter, right?
The Watchers, yeah.
There's a lot of, I know there's a lot of Watchers movies.
Yeah.
But M. Night Shyamalan's daughter, that's her flick,
okay.
Right?
That's her flick, okay.
And you saw it, right, Sal?
No, I didn't watch it.
You didn't? You didn't see it? I thought it was one of the ones you went to see a preview of.
No, that one was not one. Some of the ones that I just recently went to aren't out yet,
okay.
So I can't really talk about those
yet. All
right,
gotcha.
Yeah. Long Legs is getting a September Blu-ray release already. It's not even in theaters, but they're getting ready to put it out on Blu-ray, and I'm kind of wondering, is this a sign that it's not expected to do well?
It looks great, man. I don't know, man.
It does look great, but I'm worried because why would you? It doesn't come out until July 12th.
And you're right. You know they had test audiences already, right, Sal? Probably, right? Yeah, and they didn't test well.
And they've already scheduled it for a September Blu-ray release. Mm. And that makes me think, wow, 2 months. So they're not even going to keep it in the theater for 2 months? What's going to happen?
What studio? That's A24?
That's a good question. I don't remember.
I think I was planning on going to see it the weekend it came out. Craig, if you're interested,
well,
going to
same
see
here.
It, go.
Yeah, maybe.
My family's going to the shore that weekend. I can't because our dog is he's been knocking on death's door for the last 5 months, and we got no one to watch him because it's weird to take care of this dog because you never know what you're gonna get from one to the next. So they're all going to the shore. I'm staying home. So. But I'm still taking my vacation days. I'm going to go see Long Legs in the theater.
Yeah, so Long Legs is a Neon Pictures
production.
Neon's been doing some good stuff.
Neon has been doing some good
shit. Yeah, they have. So we'll see. I mean, like, I'm looking at it right now. Like,
the trailers have creeped me out.
So far on the Rotten Tomatoes meter, there's 11 reviews from professional reviewers that's giving it 100% so far.
Okay.
Well, those are we'll professionals, see. So unless they got paid off by the studio.
Yeah, so we'll see. I don't know. I hopes are up because the trailer creeped the crap out of me. So, yeah.
I thought the teaser trailer was creepy. The trailer was creepy. Like, I think it looks good. And it's Nick Cage. I mean, how can you go wrong with Nick Cage in a horror movie?
Same with Heretic. Yo. That sort of gave me chills too, right?
Hell yeah, it did. Hugh Grant, man, right? Like,
come back. That's it. That's the movie.
Yeah.
He was an Oompa Loompa last time, right?
Yeah. That was fucking weird. I didn't watch that movie.
It was a good movie, actually. I watched it.
Yeah? It was a musical?
Yes, it was. And I hate musicals, but...
I don't mind musicals.
There's a handful I like.
Nice. All right. Robert Englund, John Carpenter, amongst others, to get stars on the Walk of Fame, according to Variety magazine. Yes, awesome. More than 30 new stars are going to be added to the Walk of Fame.
When are they dropping those? Will we get a chance to see them? Because we didn't really spend much time in that part of L.A. last time we were in.
Yeah, I didn't really look at the dates here for when they're going to drop.
Robert Englund should put his handprint with, like, the fingers on, with the Freddy fingers. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, no handprints on the stars. It's just a star with your name.
Oh, really? That sucks.
Yeah, the handprints are at the Chinese Theater, and they stopped doing that a little while ago, I think. I don't think they're doing it anymore because the sidewalks there are all filled already. My favorite one at the Chinese Theater is the Mel Brooks, because when you look at it, you go, what the fuck? And it's because he has an extra finger on the one hand.
Is he really?
He did it as a gag. Oh. He's like, I want to make an impression, a good one. He goes, I got an idea. So he got this like fake finger. It looks like he's got another finger after his pinky.
Crazy.
So that when people, his thing was like, so I want to see it so that when people from the Midwest come up here and they see my like, handprint on the Chinese Walk of Fame, they'll go, hey, Frank, did you know that he has an extra finger? Yes, but yeah, it's fake.
And then it'll be like, that's pretty cool. Jews, man. The Jews, like,
they're mutants, what I tell you. Yeah, so there's going to be over 30 new stars added to Walk of Fame from TV, television, theater, radio, recording, and sports entertainment, blah, blah, blah. Nice. But of all the honorees, I was scanning through that little list, and John Carpenter, Robert Englund, Emilio Estevez, I think Lisa Liu was in that list. So I'm like, oh, all right, that's pretty cool.
Nice.
And then on the TV side, it says Dan Fran Drescher, the nanny, Bill Nye, the science guy, Molly Shannon, let's see, Chris Wallace, Trey Parker, Matt Stone are getting a double ceremony.
Nice.
So that's cool.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I mean, the Walk of Fame is it's all right. I mean, that's a touristy part of Hollywood, and it's like always fucking crowded, and there's always panhandlers or something bugging you. But you know, it's cool. A24 horror movie The Heretic looks creepy as fuck when they dropped their new teaser trailer. It's from the writer directors Scott Beck and Brian Woods, starring Hugh Grant and Sophie Thatcher and Chloe East. Heretic is in theaters this fall. It's expected to release November 15th.
Another religious horror.
Another A24 banger, I'm sure. Gonna add that to the list.
And the religious horrors just keep piling up this time. You know, like they're just, you know.
You know why, though. You know why, because you know where this nation and the rest of the world is headed.
Fuck yeah.
Christian fascism.
Yeah, fuck yeah. They're like, oh, hey, sir, we would just like to introduce you to. He's like, yeah, sure, come on in. He's like,
we can't come in unless there's another woman in the house. Oh, my wife is here making a blueberry pie. Come on in.
Now you just need to choose a door. To get out of here, just choose a door. That trailer is great. It's like, man, that's good shit right there.
Dude, it's going to be a religious horror, like kind of twisted with Saw.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's got that maze. And like, they show it. Like, I'm like, oh my God, that's like really like a fucking like hamster maze that they got
to
get out
Craig,
of.
Craig, are you muted or something? It looked like you were trying to talk and I couldn't hear you.
No, yeah, I was.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, speaking of religious, we really didn't tip our hats to the two Omen movies and Immaculate. And I'm afraid we're going to just sort of let those slip by because I think we've all seen them. and nobody like reviewed them or anything.
We could still add them to a review list.
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've mentioned them briefly here and there over the last few episodes.
I mean, they definitely need.
Well, now that we've all seen them, we really should talk about them one day because I'll tell you, those films, both of them were fucking perfect horror films.
That's what I'm saying. I'm afraid they're going to like sort of slip through the cracks without us talking about them.
Currently ranking towards the top of my films of 2024. Currently, both of them are in the top five.
Oh, yeah, one and two. Definitely. One and two for me. I'm not sure which order yet, but.
Yeah, definitely. Because I'll tell you, man, that and the thing is, well, I'm not going to say much, but we'll find it. We'll find an episode to talk about it because I think we should. We need to obviously pay some respect. Because
I did. I thought about it, and then I picked the movie. I was like, I should have done one of those.
Well, at the very least, they'll probably be in our top five movies of 2024, if nothing else.
Oh, absolutely. I know that both of those are in
unless
my top
some good
five
shit comes out over the next like 6 months that just like blows me away. Those are definitely probably two that'll be in my top five.
Yeah, definitely. November 15th expected for The Heretic. It looks pretty good. And then A Quiet Place has dropped one more trailer. They came into theaters on the 28th, so A Quiet Place day one final trailer looks pretty good.
It's got some good reviews.
Yeah, and I'm feeling like it might be one I go to see probably next week during the holiday week, with next week being July 4th. I might just go to see one of those because I'm kind of like, yeah, that seems pretty cool.
I've seen a few reviews that say it's probably the best of the three so far.
Really?
That's what I've seen.
Really?
Because the first one was like mind-blowing, right? It was like
the first
original
one was fantastic. Yeah. The second one was okay.
That's I'm hesitant. The second one I wasn't like
I've seen a couple reviews that say it's probably the best of the three. So I was like, oh, wow. Interesting. Maybe I should.
That'll push me to do it. That'll push me to go next week, probably.
Yeah.
Also, Deadline. According to Deadline, Ryan Gosling has a film that he's going to be in that he's part of production called "I Used to Eat Brains, Now I Eat Kale." Part of his production company, General Admission.
That's a fucking crazy title.
Yep. Amazon MGM Studios has landed I Used to Eat Brains, Now I Eat Kale. It's a zombie movie, a zombie horror comedy that is packaged based on the same name adventure comedy short story by Adam and Daniel Cooper, a.k.a. the Cooper Twins. The story is set in a post-apocalyptic world, where former zombies struggled to regenerate. Ryan Gosling and Jesse Henderson will produce the film under their First Look deal with studios through recently launched Banner General Admission Productions. So
that's a great title. Like I may just like want to watch it because of that title.
Just the title, yeah. I used to eat brains, now I eat kale. very good.
That's funny shit.
I got one more story here for you. This is the Van Helsing series, according to Deadline, is in the works at CBS Studios for a TV series.
But for CBS or for like another streaming service?
CBS Productions. Really? CBS Productions.
That doesn't sound like something that they would show.
Yeah. It says Elementary creator Rob Doherty is executive producing a project alongside Carl Beverly and Sarah Timberman under their deal with Lionsgate Television, which is the studio that will be producing this. The series is a contemporary look at the monster hunter, Dr. Abraham Van Helsing, who is his uniquely inquisitive mind works alongside his ex, relentless FBI special agent Mina Harker, to solve New York City's most harrowing cases, per the logline. So it's going to be a crime series on CBS.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
You got to keep the old people like interested. So maybe Angela Lansbury will be involved somehow.
I think she passed away a couple months
even
ago.
Even better then. It'll make it even creepier.
Dig her up. Get her on the screen.
Or what's the guy who played Matlock? That guy.
Andy Griffith.
Andy Griffith and Angela Lansbury involved in Van Helsing.
I'd say Angela Lansbury died in 2022, so that'd be a tough one to get her on there. But
it wouldn't be that tough. Yeah, they made Forrest Gump, man. AI. Man. You can do anything with AI these days.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'll tell you. I don't know. I like Van Helsing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't really care for crime solving bullshit on CBS.
Yeah.
Why don't they just call it like what was that very popular CBS?
Walker, Texas CSI, Ranger.
No, like CSI Miami. It'll be CSI Van Helsing.
Yeah, there you go. He handles all the cases that involve some weird shit. Yeah, Angela Lansbury came back and she came into the office and wanted to solve some crimes. Van Helsing, could you take care of this for us? Because she's been dead for 2 years.
Exactly. That's fucking crazy. Yeah, so there you go. That's my top stories right now. You guys got anything that I missed? I'm sure I missed a bunch, but I just picked the ones that seemed the most interesting.
I watched In a Violent Nature the other night. I really liked the concept of the movie. And I said to a friend of mine who was asking me about it, I said, have you ever played like third-person video games? Like there's a lot of points in that movie where you just feel like you're just watching him walk through the woods. I said,
right.
And I get it because it's supposed to be from the point of view of the murderer. So you're just
right.
Watching him drudge from one murder scene to the next. And that's all it is.
Right.
I'm just walking.
Right. And that's the thing. I'm like, I used to wonder, how does a murderer get from one scene to the next so quickly? Now we know.
Yeah.
He knows where to go and he walks there.
So I was watching and Kim came down and she saw him walking through the woods. She's like, what are you watching? I'm like, just this guy walking through the woods. And you're going to see it probably for the next 5 minutes. But the murder scenes were awesome.
Were fucking brutal.
Were brutal.
The murder
as
scenes
shit.
Were fucking brutal.
Yeah, it was brutal as shit. Like it was. I really liked the concept. It was a fresh take on a slasher movie.
That one's on my queue too. So if you guys want to,
but there's a lot of
the part that I really enjoyed, and I'm sorry, I might spoil something. Is that part where you watch him watching the ranger of the park talk to the people, and he goes, you shouldn't have picked up that necklace.
Yeah.
and I'm like, that's fucking great. That was a great
thing.
And
that's what ended the movie then. He got the necklace back. I'm like, well, that's it. He got the fucking necklace back. And I'm waiting. I'm like, is this over? And all of a sudden the credits started rolling. I'm like, it's over. And I don't think it was meant to be a horror comedy.
But it was a bit of a comedy. It was a bit of a comedy.
I'm sitting there for like 5 minutes, just like watching him, like, and the sound was awesome. Like they had the. I'm like, yep. I feel like I'm like I have the remote control in my hands right now, and I'm like,
yeah, yeah. But that's the thing. To me, I thought it was an ingenious little movie.
It was.
I think they stretched it a bit long.
Yeah.
But.
But it was the normal length of a slasher movie. Like, that was the thing.
Yeah, it's only an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's the normal length of a slasher movie. So it's...
And the funny thing is, like, there's nothing going on, but occasionally you could hear the campers that he was heading towards talking in the background. And I was like, yeah, it's like there's a whole movie going on, but we're seeing the backside of it.
Yeah, it was great. Like I wasn't sure what to expect, but I liked it. Like, I was... And I think the brutality of the scenes kept you involved, because like when he killed the one kill scene was like nothing I've ever seen before.
Nothing.
I was like,
nothing.
What? Wait. is he gonna? Oh, yes, he is. Boom. I was like, oh my god, dude. Yeah. Holy shit! Great movie.
The fucking kill scenes were fantastic.
Totally different. Yeah. Not what you're gonna expect, and it's a bit slow, but it's a slasher movie. It's a slasher.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was great. I watched that the other night. Loved it.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah, it's different. That's all I can say. It's very different. The murders are brutal. I enjoyed it. I did feel like they really could have cut out some of the walking. They really could. I mean,
but it was funny as shit. Like, I'm just like, are they just going to keep showing him walking?
I know, but that's the thing.
They are.
It's like, and all you can hear is him walking. There's like, for like 20 minutes of that movie, it was him walking.
I don't know. It might have been a half hour of the total movie was him walking from place to place.
But like I said, when you dot the walking with those fucking brutal murder scenes, it's like, god damn,
but
what a fucking movie.
That's a slasher movie from the opposite view.
From the other side, right, exactly.
Yeah, I thought it was a great
idea.
Like
I mentioned to you guys the other day with the Dale and Tucker versus Evil.
You said there's the flip side
of
that.
The alternative cut is a fucking horror film. Like, Dale and Tuckle look fucking terrifying from the other side. And the whole, they recut the whole movie. It's the full length movie from the other side.
Yeah, I thought that was a great, when they made that movie, I thought this is great because the kids see them as all the circumstances made it seem like these two dudes were killers, but they weren't because shit just happened. And they just happened to be there. And they were like, this girl just threw herself into wood chipper. What the fuck?
But like even the scene like where at the gas station at the beginning and Dale comes up to the girl and like says something oddly creepy, but you're like, it's funny in the movie. But when they play it on the other side, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that guy's
why would he say that?
He's gotta be a murderer. Yes. He's gotta be a murderer.
Yes. Yes. And that's what made me feel, that's how I felt about that movie.
In a violent nature. Yeah, I thought it was great. I loved it because it was so just a different, like just the flip side of a slasher film. I thought it was great.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Yeah,
that's all I got. Other than just watching that recently, I thought it was great.
Fantastic, awesome.
I'm playing a video game. It's called Still Wakes the Deep right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
One of the better ones this year, actually.
Yeah. What's the concept?
You're on an oil rig. It's on a Scottish oil rig.
Okay.
And there's some stuff they dug up a little too deep, and it's coming up through the rig and taking over some people, and there's some interesting stuff. And it's all like Scottish.
Ah.
You can choose the language that you want. You can do like regular English, or you can do the Scottish version. I picked the Scottish version. So they're saying shite and arse, and it's pretty good.
Nice.
Is it? But I highly recommend it. Like I said, it's one of the better ones.
Third person?
It's first. Yeah. I get a little dizzy sometimes playing it. I know. I'm a third person.
Damn old age. I can't do first person anymore. It makes me nauseous.
Yeah, I know.
Sweet.
All right. Let's move on to, I think we do five great flicks on.
Whatever. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't.
And did I fucking, that's my turn.
Yeah, it was your turn.
Did I even do it? No, I didn't. Give me a second.
You could do it real quick. We can cut out the.
Well,
the
because
pause.
I watched a bunch of shit on Hulu the other day. So here you go. Five flicks to watch on Hulu right now. All right? Mm-hmm. The First Omen, number one.
Oh, wow.
That is on there. You need to watch it.
Free.
It's fucking great. Yep.
Good wow. Shit. Good
streaming
shit.
On Hulu right now. You can get it with commercials or without commercials, depending on what kind of account you have. But definitely, it's up there. It's on there. You need to watch it.
And that actress, she was in The Servant. She was in Game of Thrones. Like, she's legit. Like, I like that actress who played the main nun in that. I don't remember what her name
is.
Yeah,
I don't either. But we got hooked on The Servant.
Yeah.
Yeah, we liked it. It's a good show.
Good actress.
Another film that's great up there right now is It Follows. I know we talked about this a bunch of times. It's on a bunch of my movie lists.
Yeah.
It Follows is a great film.
Awesome.
It's definitely worth watching. And my understanding is they're sequel. Working on a sequel
yeah.
right now.
I think it's
called They Follow.
Yeah, same girl, which.
Yep.
Yeah. I heard. So she says that this one's even creepier than the first one, which I'm like, how do you do that? But like,
yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Another one that's on my list here, which is one we just recently reviewed, and that is Cobweb. Great film.
Creepy.
It's on Hulu right now. Check it out.
Creepy.
Yep.
Very creepy. Very good, dude. And another one, which I think I probably mentioned once before, and I haven't mentioned this. This is not a movie. It's a series this is a movie. Yeah. Fresh. Remember Fresh?
Yeah, dude. Fresh was good. With Sebastian Stan. Like, he was great.
Sebastian Stan. Fantastic film. Definitely check it out.
Yeah.
And my fifth pick is going to be Warm Bodies, which is a comedy horror about reversing zombieism.
I haven't seen that one yet because it seemed like it was almost like a zombie like rom-com. And I
love story. Yeah.
Well, it kind of is, but it's a comedy. It's a comedy for sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it's an interesting take on reversing being a zombie. But not only that, like, from the whole beginning, the whole story is told from the point of the zombie.
Yep.
So you get his thoughts as being a zombie and
kinda
seeing
like,
other
zombies.
Yeah, a lot like Aw Zombies.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll check it out because I haven't watched that one yet because I was like, I don't know if I want to see
it. I saw it a long time ago. Yeah.
It was on
like
a couple
Twilight
of my
with
lists.
Zombies.
Yeah, it was on a couple of my lists because it really is like, there's those weird rom-com ones like Life After Beth, you know, that are comedy horrors.
Funny. That was actually pretty
that
funny.
That are pretty fucking funny. Yeah. And I think you would find Warm Bodies pretty funny, too.
I'll check it out.
All right. Now we are going to go to our top five list. The top five this month is top five family-based horror films.
That's a good call,
or
Craig.
We'll call them crazy families, I guess.
Crazy families, bloody families.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the way I kind of did it too is not always are the crazy families, but sometimes it's a family together involved in a horror.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yep.
All right, and this month the order goes Sal, Chris, Craig.
All right.
My number five, and this one has been on a bunch of lists too, The Visit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shoot. Yeah, I didn't even think about that one.
That one is fucking wild and still gives me nightmares.
The poop in the jars for me was that.
Or the fucking barn filled with dirty diapers.
And they're not even, that's the funny thing, is they're not even husband and wife, right? They're just they were from the same loony bin.
Yeah. That was a fucked up movie.
Was that
M. Night Shyamalan? That was M. Night Shyamalan, right?
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's one his finest. Yeah, I was going to say maybe his finest. Next, Right up there. Yeah.
It's one of the ones that did not feel to me like a bomb.
Exactly. Yeah.
My number four is the original Poltergeist.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Good one. Good.
That's
one.
A family going through hell of horror.
Oh God. Yeah.
My number three, House of a Thousand Corpses, because that is the craziest family of all time, right there.
The Firefly family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was. There's some fucked up people in that family for sure.
Indeed. Indeed. My number two, Hereditary. Mm-hmm. Another family horror.
Yeah. Yep. For sure.
My number one. Most terrifying family-based horror movie of all time. It's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Because when you think about families that are crazy and horrific, that Texas Chainsaw
True story
Massacre
to
family.
Boot.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then they went on to make like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 was like, you know, like you got even more involved in how fucked up they were.
Dog Will Hunt! and then I got two honorable mentions. My number one, first honorable mention is Us, which is a great family-based horror film.
Yeah, for sure.
And my number two is Cobweb, because that one, fucking wild. Anthony Starr, man.
Yeah, that was good.
Yep.
For sure. Like, that guy, like his, have you been watching the new season of The Boys?
Yeah, I just finished episode 3 right before we started recording the podcast here.
Dude, that show, like every season, I think there's no way they can get crazier than
they Oh, they get crazier.
There was so much penis in that
episode 2. Yeah.
Episode 2, like Jesus, like there was like God damn, could they just kill this guy? Like, because he just keeps like splitting off and he's naked and he's they just keep showing his dong. Like
the thing that I find the best about this is all that news about the. You know, the Trump followers, the MAGTARDs.
Yeah, all of a sudden, like,
this
oh
is
God.
Making fun of us?
This is bullshit. I'm like, dude, they've been doing that
since... Dude, the whole fucking time it's been about making fun of you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're a bit slow, right? Like,
yeah.
No offense to anyone who listens to this show that may be a MAGA guy. I'm sure you're not listening anymore, but yeah, no offense. Like, yeah, that's you.
All right, Chris, your turn.
All right, so my number five, So I did the movie and I listed the family name because I liked the movie enough that I wanted to find out what the name of the family is. And it's funny because you don't know the name of the family in some of them. Like you don't really
think about it either. Yeah.
So my number five is Hereditary. That's the Graham family. And the creepiest person in that family by far, which is weird because she died very early, was the little girl. The whole.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
we're cutting the head off of birds and shit.
Yeah. Like she was creepy as shit. I mean, but the, you know, they were from a line of, you know, witches or whatever
crazy
the fuck
people.
They were.
Yeah.
My number four is People Under the Stairs, the Robeson family. The People Under the Stairs was like just a weird ass, like, you know, like this family like captured people and like, you know, like
an awesome Wes Craven film.
Yeah. Like it's an underappreciated Wes Craven film because it wasn't really a horror comedy, but it was like just weird as shit and fucked up family in that movie. My number three is The Loved Ones, and they were the Stone family.
Yeah.
The dude and the chicken that like the chicken that and her dad, and I swear to God, Bright Eyes was her mom. But she didn't like her mom, so they just like made her like into a zombie too and kept her sitting at the end of the table. That was a fucked up family too. So the loved ones was my number three. My number two was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They actually was the Sawyer family is the name of those people.
There you go.
Didn't know that. And then my number one is House of a Thousand Corpses / Devil's Rejects / Three from Hell, the Firefly family, because they were all just insane. And every one of them in their own different way was just, you know, Rob Zombie wrote a song about House of a Thousand Corpses, and it goes through how they're all just nuts.
Nutty.
Yeah. I have two honorable mentions. I have The Hills Have Eyes. That's the Jupiter family. All those weird, like creepy, mutants. Like mutants that lived out there in the desert. They were all a family of inbred / exposed to nuclear waste kind of shit.
Dude, The Hills Have Eyes, the original Wes Craven film. Fucking horrifying.
The original was horrifying, but the remake I thought was just as horrifying. They did a really good job with the remake on that one. Yeah. And then also You're Next, which is the Davidson family, which, you know, they had that little get together and there was kids plotting to, like, you know, take the family fortune by. So that's my top five.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good one. Good list.
All right. My number five, I went with X.
Yeah, I forgot.
Because
yeah,
of
you know
the,
what?
The husband and wife.
Well, yeah, they were fucking weird as shit.
I guess enough to,
yeah. And she was, you know, in Pearl and coming up. Well, no, she wasn't. She wasn't in. She's not going to be in the new one. But
no, because she's dead now. Yeah.
But she was a creepy old broad.
Yep, and her husband sort of went along with it, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
You do that sometimes as a husband, right? Go along with your wife's like crazy shit.
Yep. number four, I went with Incident in a Ghostland. Because that was a mother and two daughters in that one, right? Number three, House of a Thousand Corpses. / all the other ones that they're involved in. But that one was my favorite, I think. Same family, though.
Yeah.
Number two, I went with Loved Ones as well on my list.
Yeah. They were fucked up.
Yeah. For sure. And number one, Texas Chainsaw. I went with number two because they brought in some family members that weren't in the first one. I thought, you know, they were crazier than the first, I think.
Yeah, they definitely were. I agree with that.
So I went with Texas 2.
For sure. Good list.
Honorable mentions, I got Conjuring. That family went through hell a few times.
Yeah, they sure did.
I don't know if what they call it, brain damage. That movie, I guess it's a mother and son. I'll throw that in as an honorable mention, I guess. Right?
Well, you know what? You know what other one would have been good was Who's Watching Oliver?
Oh yeah,
man,
that one.
Oh man,
fuck her, Oliver. Dude. Fuck her for mommy. Fuck that dirty slut for mommy.
Dude, that movie is messed up.
I didn't even think of that one either. That was a good call, Craig. That was a good one. That like, considering we were running out of shit to go on.
Yeah, man,
that was a good list. Yeah, fantastic. All right, let's hit the movie review. So the movie review this month is Anything for Jackson. This is filmed in 2020. It's got a 69% audience, 97% professional reviews on Tomato Meter, Rotten Tomatoes. It's a horror film, an hour and 37 minutes long. The synopsis is, after losing their only grandchild in a car accident, an elderly couple kidnaps a pregnant woman to perform a reverse exorcism in order to bring him back to life. It's directed by Justin G. Dyke. Dyke? Dick? D-Y-C-K? Dick, I guess. Screenwriter Keith Cooper. Production is Vortex Productions. There's no rating on this film, oddly enough. I guess it was streaming only, and it was released to streaming December 3rd, 2020.
Was that a Shudder original?
I don't know. It may have been. It was Vortex Productions. It doesn't say the distributor on the
I don't know.
The website, so I'm not sure. It might have been. Anyway, that is the film. Anything for Jackson? So, this film.
Also a family horror.
A family horror. Yes, very much, in a sense. Very much, yep. It was weird because the dad looked familiar. Was he in?
I said the same thing to Craig. I'm like, he's been right? Like he's been in something that
I want to say he was in. Was he in Evil or one? I think one of the TV show. I don't know that it was Evil, but
I didn't bother to look it up. But he definitely looked familiar.
And he's got to be in a bunch of different.
And
stuff.
The girl who played like the pregnant lady, she looked familiar too. Like I think I've seen her in something before too. But
yeah, she, I don't know that she was anything. Well, actually, no? Let's see. Let me Google it real quick and see what we got here. It doesn't look like she was in anything major, was she? I don't see her in any movies.
It was.
I want to say I almost think he was like in Game of Thrones or something too, the dad, but he wasn't. I don't think.
Oh, he was in Wrong Turn, dude. All right.
Oh, okay.
Now I know.
All right, for sure. Yeah, then I've seen him before.
He's British. His name's Julian.
It was an interesting film. It was a good concept, I thought. Let's just talk about the synopsis real quick before we get into any spoilers or whatever. Like, I guess, right?
225 films and television series. So he's been around.
Yeah. So really, they lose a. My understanding, because they went through it in the film, right, is car accident.
Spoilers. Driving. Spoilers, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in the summary, they say they lost a grandson.
Yeah.
And they try to get him back through reverse possession. So it's their grandson is killed in the car accident. The daughter, I guess, is left severely paralyzed is what they alluded to, because you never really saw the daughter,
flashbacks.
But she died. Yeah, flashback, because she died at some point, but it was basically
suicide,
a vegetable.
Yeah.
So what they decide in desperation is they want to have that grandson back.
Unless you want to, do you want to say something about how they got the car accident or who caused
the car? Let's just say that right now we're going to,
because you can,
you can't really
it's
talk
a spoiler.
About this movie without like doing spoilers,
without spoiling,
I think.
Something.
Yeah.
Because it does sort of explain why she wants, I mean, and the movie does a nice job of, I guess it's a spoiler.
Yeah, I would say that we probably should say, look, like, to talk about this movie, we're going to have to throw some spoilers out there because it's not chronological. Like they give you a little bit here and there as the movie goes on.
Right. It's not like they tell you exactly what happened in the beginning. They kind of work their way through it.
Which is good. And like I said, I don't want to spoil that for somebody.
Yeah, so pause it now. Go watch the movie yourself and come back if you want to hear us discuss the movie. It was a decent movie. So, you know, pause it. We're going to spoil it now and then come back. All right.
All right.
So yeah, so it appears the grandma was driving the car and she dotes over the grandson and she was like turning around to like fidget with him or something like that, and she ran into like a tree or some shit. Like I couldn't quite grasp that, but she caused the accident that killed her grandson and turned her daughter into a vegetable, and so she felt bad. And her husband was like a doctor who, you know, loved his wife extremely, you know, and would do anything for her. And she decided she wanted to try to, like, you know, the daughter was lost because she ended up killing herself because, you know, she didn't want to live as a vegetable, which I get. Like, you know, that's a shitty way to go through life.
No child. Yeah, your child's dead. And,
and you're in a fucking vegetative state living in your parents' house. Like, so they decide they're going to try to bring Jackson back.
From the dead. Yeah.
So the movie starts out with them like hanging out in their house, and the next day, like one of the things I didn't care for in this movie, like they jump scenes too quickly. Like, and I was
But
I felt like I missed something. Like, I was like, did they just went from one thing to another? Did I miss something here? Like, there was no like segue. Like, which I think I get why they were doing it, but to me the jumps were too sudden.
Like, yeah, it was too harsh of a jump every time they did that.
Yeah, and it happened like maybe two or three times, and I'm like, did we miss something here? Because one of the scenes too, like he was in the doctor's office talking to his staff about.
Yeah, and I guess you're right now that you say it, because you didn't know if it was a flashback or it was the next scene or something.
Yeah, because they did flashbacks, but then they also like just cut to new scenes, and I was like trying to piece together where we were at. Like,
yep.
That was like probably that, and like Craig and I noticed when we were watching it, the quality of the film was kind of.
I don't know if you noticed that, Sal, too. It got
on and off,
especially
yeah.
when they went to darker scenes. Like it got kind of blurry. Like it,
yeah.
And yeah. I was like, oh, that's weird that we're kind of blurring out here. But maybe that was on purpose. I don't know. But anyway, so they decide they want to like do this reverse exorcism, and bring the spirit of their dead grandson into this woman's almost to be born child who he was the doctor of. And she didn't really want to be a mom. Like she like was like, was holy shit, I don't want to be a mom. And he's like, oh, all right, then we got ourselves a winner here. And so and that was the other thing. I mean, they thought they set everything out like great. Like, oh, we have it all planned out. Everything's going to go perfectly. Until it didn't, and it happened really quickly. I guess you didn't have it up planned.
That was the funnest part of the movie, right? Yeah. When shit just went and started going backwards. Yeah. It was like you open the gate, and all these people fucking came flooding in because they wanted to, you know, possess that body, right? They wanted the new bodies, and
that was the shit that creeped me out. Like the different like spirits that came into the house unexpectedly, and you're like, well, who the fuck is this now? And it was like. Creepy shit.
And they were members of this group too, by the way. And we should tell them that to learn this black magic, they joined a
Satanist group. They joined
a Satanist group, and it was in the public library. It's funny, they're like walking through the library, and then you go, and nobody knows they got this Satan group in the back.
Hail Satan!
Yeah, I found that to be funny. And then the other thing too, that the fact that they said, look, these are all tortured souls.
Who want to get out?
Really, they're really in limbo. They're not even in hell yet. They're in limbo, and they want to get out of their torture. But the thing is, like each of them, as they appear, they're like reliving the torture that they lived in life. And some of them were pretty fucked up, like that
contortionist.
Fucking, the contortionist,
that dude with a bag on his face.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the contortionist.
Freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why it was a little blurry for that. I was like, I wanted to see it better. But you could tell he was like creepy as hell.
Well, and that he
actually let her go too, right? Didn't he like break her out of the chains? Like, remember he walked over top, and it will go back and watch it.
He bit her in her stomach. I remember
you
that.
Can hear the chain. You can hear the chain like drop. Remember, she still had one cuff on the bed.
Oh, that's right.
And then he you know, crawled over, and you can hear the chain like hit the floor. So I think he let her go.
That trick or treat kid creeped me out too.
Because
he went from the little trick or treat kid to that giant,
big,
trick
tall,
or treat,
fucking
like,
giant.
And I was like,
yeah, it's like the middle of winter. There's like 3 feet of snow. And he's like trick or treat,
and she's like, quit fucking. Like she's like, stop it. This is all rude of you, or whatever the hell she said. But he just kept following around the house. Then all of a sudden, there was that like giant like thing. I was like, oh man, that's fucked up. Like, what the hell is that thing?
Right.
Like there was some really creepy shit in that movie.
Right. And not only that, like once the cop killed herself and it kept happening over and over
and then you saw her like get
again.
Dragged down the hallway and then she would come back and do the same shit. I'm like, there was some really creepy shit in that movie.
And the snow removal guy too. He was
that
guy was
he shoved his head into the fucking snowblower.
Well, that's what I said to Craig too. I said, when that guy like did that, I'm like, well, why didn't they just call the cops and tell them that this guy just killed himself on their front lawn? But no, he decided to try and cover it
up.
Chop
him
up
and cover it up, yeah.
Well, dude, like, why would you try to cover this shit up? And then I was
I can tell you, I know his reasoning there.
Because they were just at his house saying, a missing person.
That means the cops are going to come there and do, like, a full investigation.
Yeah.
He doesn't want that.
But how far to hell did they live from this place that he decided to like hide this body that he then was able to run home
and two cars.
Yeah, exactly. And two cars. Exactly. No one's going to discover this shit here, and I'm only probably like a 15-minute jog from home.
And he didn't even bury the body deep. It's just like under the snow. You know?
Yeah, it got a little crazy there for a while. But there was some really crazy shit. And then the ending got a bit like strange for me. The dude who was like the Satanist
Ian.
He was creepy as shit to begin with. Like, as soon as they introduced that dude, I'm like, man, that guy's fucking shady as shit. Like, what's up with this dude? You know,
exactly.
Like, he just looked creepy, and he had that weird ass comb over going on.
And that all started too when you found out he killed his mother. You're like, holy shit, this guy's not gonna be good. You know what I mean? It's like,
well, yeah. So he wasn't trying to help them out. He was trying to actually bring that demon into reality. So that
he brought back the devil. That's what he did.
Well, was it the devil or was it just that demon
No, that was the devil at the end.
I thought it was just the demon. He was a demon. I forget the name. They even named him
devil.
Or something.
Was it the devil? I just thought it was that demon that he was trying to like get here. That's the thing when you
I thought it was
like
the devil because it had the horns, and that's why I thought it was devil. I don't.
It's the problem when you watch occult movies because there's different.
Because isn't that why he exists, right? He was all about Satan. That's right. It was like Satan, and that's why I think like his like big thing would be, hey, let's bring Satan.
True, but we've learned from other like occult
movies.
I just
looked it up. The demon is Surgot. It's not the devil. So he's the one that has crown of horns, and then he's got horns that stick out of his back. If you remember that scene,
yeah.
So they said. Okay.
We've learned that from other films, right? Like lesser demons pretend to be like
the devil.
More powerful demons because just like humans, they want to be more important than they really are. So he's like, I'm Satan. Yeah. Like, you know,
right.
Like,
exactly. So that's what, and in the explanation here from the review in Fangoria magazine says that the hitch in the story is that Audrey and Henry are very new to Satanism. And in their dabbling in the ancient spell book, they summon Surgot, who is the demon that acts as the gatekeeper to Limbo.
Right. And so they thought that they could get him to bring back their grandson. But he just opened the gate because they didn't finish the spell.
Right.
And then
that's
so everyone's like, oh,
yeah.
Holy shit, the door is open. I'm going to try to get up there and get myself a vessel to get out of Limbo.
Yep.
And he's like, yo, you guys didn't finish the spell, man. I'll help you finish the spell, but you got to like give me $10,000 and let me keep the book. Like, okay, yeah, sure thing, sir, we'll do that for you.
And but so then like, when that kid's there to finish the spell and he crosses the salt line, he fucking breaks the salt line like an idiot.
Yeah, I said to Craig, I'm like, dude, he just like drug his foot across the salt line like a dumbass. Like,
yep.
And we all know from the...
A different bunch of movies, right?
From the Evil Dead movie, that when you cross the salt line, you let the demon out.
Yeah. And so that guy, he got what he wanted because the demon came and like just like, you know, basically like killed him. And so that was the cool thing at the end where like their hands were like kind of like touching real close. And then the blood like leaked from them and like merged.
And touched, yeah.
And once the blood merged, I think that gave him the what he needed to like come out or something like fully. I was trying to figure out that has some significance, right?
Yeah.
Like the fact that their hands were like that and like the blood, like, and then when the blood finally touched.
Well, yeah. Cause remember you had to cut your hand. Remember?
Yeah.
Like they each cut their hand every time. So that's what that was. It was two different people's blood. Yeah. Cause they both cut their hand.
And then the movie like kind of ended with like Jackson standing in the window, and I'm like, so like is he still there? You know?
Yeah,
and then,
my understanding is the gate is still open and the demons are still in the house.
And she left.
Yeah.
And as she was leaving, she saw the demon walk across the street because now he's out of the out of hell because I think the blood brought him back. That's kind of what I thought. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was
and her baby's going to be okay. Yeah. Cause she sort of held her belly, I think, in saying everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. Cause the demon never entered her. Nothing.
The problem with me with this movie was the ending. Cause to me, it felt far too ambiguous. Like I really didn't understand exactly what happened at the end.
You know, sometimes they do that though. Cause they don't, they either want you to make your own ending or
they want a part two.
There could be, really. There could
the budget for that film. I got to see if I can find it because I was trying to look it up before.
I thought some of the practical effects were pretty sweet. Like,
I tell you,
they
were. Contortionist.
And I like the old lady brushing her teeth, like flossing her teeth, and the teeth were falling out.
That was all practical,
I
think, right?
I like that.
The flossing.
Yeah.
Flossing her teeth out of her mouth.
Yeah, there was
that was the first good too, right? He's like, he wakes up and he's like, and yeah. then his wife calls. She's like, "Can you help me bring up the girl?" You're like, "Oh shit, who's yeah, there?"
Like, wait, who the hell's that over there? Like flossing their teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some good. There was some good shit in this movie. Like, but yeah, also like the graininess of the film sometimes.
And, yeah, that I didn't like.
The jumps that like kind of happen, and I was like, mm.
Well, the article in Fangoria that I read for this because I looked back in 2021, they wrote a review in Fangoria. Uh-huh. And you're basically saying that the artist that did all the ghost work and stuff wanted it to be ghosts that were based on reality events, things that have happened or could happen in real life. And he said they were largely inspired by the 13 Ghosts movie. With all the ghosts that died in that one, or even in Sixth Sense.
I can see that now that you say that. Yeah. Yeah. Now that you say that, I see that. Cause that was like, there were some great ghosts in that movie.
Yeah. So to be a restless spirits that you can go, yeah, I could see a restless spirit of someone that got suffocated in a plastic bag in that, you know, in that house yeah. or somewhere, wherever.
And yeah, but and just like that was pretty good. Backwards and shit. And...
Yeah. The tooth lady one was really pretty fucked up when you first see the tooth lady and she's just flossing her fucking teeth out and they're falling yeah. on the ground. I'm like, what the fuck? That's messed up.
Not as like I said, it was a fun movie, I think. I mean, it wasn't the best.
Yeah, but there was I was creeped out quite a bit while watching it.
Yeah, definitely. There definitely was some crazy shit. Yeah, so it was pretty interesting. Also, they got in Fangoria magazine, which, by the way, if you're not subscribed, you should think about subscribing to our listeners.
I do because pretty I sent yeah, acting that was good. The new one, right?
Right, acting was solid.
When they show the demon at the end, there it's a female in makeup. That's a woman in costume with tits and all, and no eyes. The horns grow out of her eyes because it's a visionless demon. When she appears at the end of the film there in the
bed. Is that who grabbed him? Because there was no eyes?
Yes.
Remember?
Yep.
Yeah.
And they drew her, like there's some sketches and shit in Fangoria from when they were drawing it out. But the original design for the demon was she was pregnant, the demon, that you would see the pregnant woman's
body.
She
did look like, I just thought she looked chubby there at the end, but maybe she
was. Yeah, but
maybe
she's actually pregnant and the horns are growing out of her eyes, so she's a demon without vision.
Cool.
So that was pretty interesting film. I mean, like the special effects were pretty good. A lot of practical effects. There was a little bit of digital stuff in there. The scene of the police officer repeatedly shooting herself in the head was fucking great.
Yeah.
Especially when that guy comes in for the first time and it scares the fuck out of him.
Oh yeah.
And the old couple goes, "Ah, she's been doing that since 6 p.m."
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a pretty decent film. I mean, I don't know what I can't find anything about what the budget was, or and I guess they really didn't make any money because it went directly to streaming. So
yeah,
so for what we think was probably a low budget film, it was decent.
Yeah, it was decent. The storytelling was pretty good. The imagination with the demons was pretty good. The way that it's like two old people fumbling around their satanism and their satanic rituals.
Do you
and
think
trying
you
to...
made a mistake?
Yeah, exactly.
I think you probably made a mistake.
But the interesting thing was at the end, you know, it's kind of like the way that most, at least from my experience, the way you are in a marriage is you'll do anything for your partner.
Yep.
And that just kind of seals that whole story.
That sort of came into play too, right, towards the end.
Yeah. And that's what made it so believable, because in the end, he's like, "I just want her to be happy.
Yeah,
I'll do whatever she tells me to do."
Yeah.
And then I'm like, "Yeah, that's typically what happens in a marriage. You're like, whatever
happy
the other
life,
partner,
happy wife."
Right? Yeah, I felt that when he said that. I'm like, "Yeah, I for sure, dude." Yeah.
And for him, it's like he would, and they go, "Well, you would die to do what she needs." He goes, "Yeah. If I die just to make her happy, then so be it." I'm like, "Yeah, there you go."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was a pretty good film. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I would say, for me, 3.5 stars. It's not bad for a low-budget film.
I'd say I'm going to go 3, only because I think the graininess of the film at certain points kind of
there
bothered
were some
me.
I don't know, like, was it must not have been filmed on digital or
no,
something.
No, it wasn't.
One of the film, like, bundles or whatever, or cameras, wasn't in focus well.
Yeah.
Or the film was shitty grade film or something. And that there was a couple low-light scenarios where I was like, what the fuck just happened to the picture?
Yeah. And but I'm gonna go 3.5.
All right, we'll go 3.5 then.
All right, 3.5 stars from American Nightmare Podcast. So this is a good, I think, another good film on Shudder. Another reason, like, if you're a horror fan and you're not subscribed to Shudder, I question whether or not you're actually a horror fan.
Yeah, I'll call it a sleeper, right? I'll call it a sleeper movie if you have Shudder.
Yeah.
You probably overlook it.
For sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The only problem I'm having with Shudder lately, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I load up the app on my Apple TV, it goes to one of the live streaming channels.
Yeah.
And then when I flip down to the menu, like, the audio from the live streaming channel is still going. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. Or sometimes the stuff below doesn't populate.
Right, right. Or when you go to search and you start typing in the search area, like, nothing appears on the screen. Like, there's nothing in there. And I got to quit the app and restart it, and then it starts working again.
Yeah. Yep. I've had to work on their app.
Yeah, yeah. All right, awesome. So let's wrap this episode up with thanking all of our listeners, as always. Thank you for listening to the American Nightmare Podcast. You can join us up on Facebook there. We have a Facebook group. It's a private group. Just request membership, and we'll let you right in. We just want to keep out all the spammers and the filth. So, And then if you want to like leave some feedback, or you want to give us some ideas for movies to review, or you want to tell us about the a top five list that you think would be intriguing, you can email us at feedback@the-american-nightmare.com, or you can visit us on our website, the-american-nightmare.com. Or you can call us and leave us a voicemail. If you're too lazy to write an email, or you don't want to join us on Facebook and leave a message, you can dial 1-562-247-5855 and leave us a voicemail. That's 1-562-247-5855. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us a top five list that we should check out, or a movie we should review. We're happy to take your feedback. Until next month, everyone. Thank you.
Yep. All right.
All right.